Hello, welcome, good afternoon. You are listening to the Walk the Talk with Kim show. I am Kim Arellano, and the show is focused on nonprofit mission-driven organizations in an effort to improve our community through best practices and also just sharing our life and our stories. And I'm really excited because today we are going to be talking with Ed Lincoln and his beautiful wife, Connie, about a book that he came out with. And some of you may know who Ed Lincoln is. Ed is the creator of the pink tow truck that lived forever on the busiest intersection in Washington. And we're going to be talking more with him. And I got through with the book and it was just an absolutely incredible read. So we're going to talk about his book. And we're also going to talk about some philanthropic organizations that he's involved with. And but before we get there, I wanted to let you know that today's show is sponsored by Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation, a wealth of experience, and a kind, compassionate attitude. That is the Pearson Promise. Also wanted to follow up from our show last week. We had starting and sustaining a nonprofit from Ode to Joy, as well as the Rancho Laguna Equine Rescue. And I just wanted to remind you that on the 22nd of June, which is next Wednesday, from 1 to 6 p.m., the Starting and Sustaining a Nonprofit seminar is being hosted, and you can get more information. I just got, Eric, this beautiful letter from a woman who had listened to the show, and she said that she had always wanted to start a very specific nonprofit.
Uh-huh.
And so she sent me a letter, and it was beautifully written on why she got to this and how she did it, and that she was inspired and wants to think about starting a nonprofit. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, it was just very warm. I mean, there's a reason why we're doing the show, and that was kind of exciting to get that letter. So if you're listening, Cynthia, thank you very much for writing today. And please do think about contacting and going to the seminar that is on Wednesday, June 22nd, again, from 1 to 6 p.m. in Seattle. There is a $75 fee, but that's because there is some incredible talent that's going to be there. Legal information, tax information, fundraising and marketing, roles and responsibilities of the board, how to build a board. It's going to be well worth the time and energy to go there, and parking is free. And you can call Joy at 425-653-1575. That number again, 425-653-1575. Or you can email Joy at o2joyent.com. Again, that's Joy at o2joyent.com. And of course, you can go to www.walkthetalkwithkim.com, and all that information will be posted there. And you can also go to the Facebook page for Walk the Talk with Kim, and that information will be there as well. Also, information on the Facebook page is how you can order and read Ed Lincoln's book, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. And I got through with this book last night, and I laughed. It was funny. My kids were busy doing something. My husband was watching TV, and I was over chuckling in the corner because I was just coming through some really funny parts of the book. But Ed, let's welcome you to the show, and Connie, welcome you both to the show. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I wanted to let folks know kind of how you got here, because, you know, typically we work with nonprofits, and you do have a nonprofit organization we're going to learn about a little bit later that you've been involved with. But I had given or donated this time to an organization, a nonprofit organization, and you looked at that and said, I'd like to do that. And then I met you and I realized that I should really be paying you to be on the show today, because you are a history, and what you know and what you've been through in Ballard and in Seattle is just a wealth of knowledge for all of us.
At that auction, I just got in the door, and my daughter grabbed me by the arm. She said, you got to see this. You got to buy this.
Ah.
It's Kim. You got to buy it. It's a good fit. We didn't even know who Kim was.
When we first met, it was funny. He goes, I haven't really listened to your show. I don't know what you do. And I said, that's okay. We'll make it fun. But the more we talked, the more I realized it was such a great fit. But I am very, very honored that you're both here. And I had read through the book. I was telling Connie when she got here, I said, I feel kind of weird because I feel like I know you after reading through the book. Why did you write this book? What was your goal?
Well, the reason I wrote the book is because my daughters have encouraged me over the last decade. Dad, you got to write a book. you tell such good stories, and they're all true. And it's fun for other people to hear these. When I tell your stories, they laugh. And why don't you write a book and save the stories? I said, yeah. You know, when you're working 60 hours a week, you don't really have time. So when we retired 9 years ago, and then I coasted for, you know, half of that, then my daughter was back, encouraged me, and my wife probably wanted me to do something more
productive. Do something productive, please.
Yes. Yeah. So I signed up for a writing class, and I signed up for a computer class, and I, you know, bare bones, had to start learning. And 3 years of a writing class, and the book got better and better as the, you know, time went on. And I learned, you know, how to express my thoughts on paper as opposed to just telling stories.
Yeah.
It's way different.
It's a different skill set, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, very much so. Well, for those that aren't native to here, and I say that with a lot of pride because I was actually born here and there's not very many of us left, but and you were born in the state as well and real close here in Ballard, I believe, is where you were born.
Well, actually, I was born in Juneau, Alaska.
Oh, I didn't realize
but
that.
But the book starts at age 6 in Ballard.
Well, you just got to skip the first 6 years since you can't remember that
I didn't
that
remember anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it was great to get the history of somebody I was sharing with my husband. You talk about in your book the boat race through the Sammamish Slough. And my husband remembers, of course, they quit doing that a long, 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 long time ago. But you through your book, what was really interesting is you get a feel for what it was like back then in the history and things that are long gone now, but that you were there, you lived them.
Yeah, and it was exciting. I mean, a little 14-foot boat with a 55-horsepower Mercury on the back, just flying up those turns and sliding, you know, into the bushes and out of the bushes. And yeah, it was fun.
Well, it sounded like a lot of fun. So for those that are newer to the area, tell us a little bit about what is your legacy? And I know that's a big loaded question, but let's talk about the tow truck first. There are some people that don't know what we're talking about. Can you explain the tow truck?
Well, fortunately, the tow truck has about a 70% response when I speak at a group that remember it and raise their hand, yes, they know it. So mm-hmm. That's a strong response.
Can we just point out that's TOE truck?
Oh. That's right.
Yes.
It's
because if you just say tow truck, people go, what tow truck?
What tow truck?
Yeah,
well,
the
only
TOE truck.
Only 30% of the people, according to what Ed is saying, would go, what tow truck?
Right.
The other 70%.
That's a very good point. That's a very good. You got to get it in the right picture.
And so picture, so describe to us, what did this tow truck look like?
Well, the tow truck looked like, it looked kind of like, partially like if you took your shoe off and built a foot. So part of the truck, the base of the truck is the foot, and then it curves around up to where you have the ball of your foot, and then you have all the toes on top. Mm-hmm. And the toes are very humorous toes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're large and very pink,
mm-hmm.
and so that's the reason it was built because of a pun. It was a pun on the industry, the towing industry. We were in the towing industry, and this was a way to add some fun, knowing that this particular truck, if I build it, would probably be in a lot of parades. Hopefully, mm-hmm. would be accepted and be in a lot of parades. And it was actually ended up in hundreds of parades.
Well, you talk about this in the book. The tow truck almost didn't get built. It sounded like Connie had veto power, and it was contingent on you getting into the torchlight parade.
My wife is a very practical person, and her practical brain said, "Don't build it. It's a waste of money."
Uh-huh.
And you know, that's not how she feels today.
No.
But you know, she was right. It could have been a waste of money.
It could have been.
You know, you build this fiberglass rig that, you know, motorized and all that, and then what if it just sits in a garage somewhere?
Right, exactly. And so to take our listeners back a little bit, the pink tow truck was an advertising or a marketing attempt, very, very successful because the pink tow truck has been seen in a lot of Seattle television shows and on commercials and things like that. But it was a marketing for your organization of Lincoln Towing.
Right.
And for those of you that remember, Lincoln Towing was a very, very successful towing operation here in the Pacific Northwest in the Seattle area. And you were known for having very clean trucks, you know, state-of-the-art equipment, and took very, very good care of your employees. And it was a very successful organization that you wound up selling out eventually. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But tell us a little bit about the tow truck itself. It sat where in Seattle?
Well, if you're going to sell something, they say that location, location, location. And we happened to be on the corner. We were renting the corner from the city of Seattle, corner of Fairview and Mercer. That's the Fairview, that's the Mercer exit ramp. It's where all the traffic goes, lots of traffic goes to work. And then in the evening, the traffic goes to the Seattle Center, goes to the opera, goes to rock concerts, goes to the Sonics at that time. So it was a day and night, a busy, busy, busy corner.
Yeah. 1989 through 1993, I passed that tow truck every day. I worked on Thomas Street in Seattle. So I passed that truck every single day. Mm. And that meant that I was either just about ready to get to work or on my way home. And I remember when we had a big, huge snowstorm, the snow started piling up on the tow truck because we sat there for an hour in the snowstorm waiting to get out. So it was definitely a sign for me and a welcome icon. So we're excited to have you, and we are going to take a break at this moment. But when we come back, I want to hear some stories, including I understand that there might even be a second tow truck, and we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150.
Tell you mine. There'd be no truck drivers if it wasn't for us trucks. No double clutching, gear jamming, coffee drinking nuts. They'll drive their way roaring, and they have all the luck. There'd be no truck drivers if it wasn't for us trucks.
Since 1977, Pearson Law Professionals have compassionately guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice for insurance disputes and personal injury claims. Pearson Law has secured justice in civil matters with a network of resources, wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Call 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5.
Want to play on two wheels in your own backyard? Throw your bike on the rack and head east to the Snoqualmie Valley for the 2011 Tour de Peaks Bike Ride. Mark your calendars for Sunday, August 14th, and choose the 25, 50, or 100-mile course through some of the most spectacular scenic roads in the state of Washington. Don't miss the live music and microbrews at the finish. Log on to tourdepeaks.org for more information or to register. That's tourdepeaks.org. See you there.
Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I guess it's my tough luck. There'd be no truck drivers if it wasn't for us trucks. There'd be no truck drivers if it wasn't for us trucks.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Ariano, and we are talking with Ed and Connie Lincoln, Seattle icons and entrepreneurs. And we were talking about the tow truck, and the tow truck isn't there anymore. It was moved. It was moved.
Donated to the Museum of History and Industry.
And I understand they had to do a lot of work to get it restored.
They had to remodel their store to get it in.
It sat up there on the roof for quite a long period of time.
Oh, that remodel. Yeah. We restored it before we gave it to them.
Yeah. That looked like it was a lot of work, though.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And it looked like the tow truck had gone through some some issues as well. Can you tell us what happened to the...
I think Dr. Scholl's should have bought it, They really missed a bet.
They did. They missed a boat.
We tossed their name around. Oh, really? People maybe we should contact when we were retiring. You know what to do with the original tow?
What are you going to do with the tow truck? So the tow fell off at one point.
The tow got hit by a car. Yeah, and the bottom got knocked clear up. It was sitting on the roof, so it was not exactly a low fall. It was, you know, second level up.
So there was an extensive repair. So you were telling me that there's a second tow truck.
Oh, most people don't know that.
No.
Yeah, when we got ready to sell, before we got ready to sell, that during that year or 2 years apart, we decided to build a second tow truck because the first one now had deteriorated from the weather and from rusting and whatever. And it'd just be easier to start over. So we start building a second tow truck. And then we sold in the middle of it. And we gave the new one, which was about done, to the new buyers. And we kept the old one, not knowing what we would do with it. But then we started getting inquiries from museums. We had four museums that wanted it. And one as far away as Tennessee. Mm. It was the National Tow Truck Museum in Chattanooga. And in the end, we chose MOHI, or the Museum of History and Industry, to be our museum of choice. But there still was a problem, is the tow needed to be restored. Because, you know, we thought it was going to be scrapped. Mm. And when the museum wanted it, then we had to rethink. And so we ended up restoring it. So then now there's two tow trucks. One that's going to go away in the museum, and one that's going to stay with Lincoln Towing in Seattle. And the new one was our right foot, and the toes were down a little lower than, quite a bit lower than the first one, because we had hit some streetlights.
Oh,
and the original one was the one going to the museum.
Ah, gotcha. And so you were telling me that this new tow truck already has had a celebrity driver.
Oh, this is amazing. You know, just when you think that you've given up and run out of you know, good things to happen to the tow, Howie Mandel contacted Lincoln Towing and said he would like to drive the truck to the big opening at the Paramount that happened last week. And of course, they taped these shows ahead, so you know the contact was 2 months ago, and so they agreed to do that. So here the tow. Now, most people that saw it on TV would think it was the original, mm-hmm. because they didn't know there was two. But here's the tow giving good coverage or good claim to the book, even though it was the wrong foot.
Wrong side.
And it aired last week, and we got copies of that. And pretty exciting to have Howie. He called it his limo.
Ah.
He's driving this truck through town, and there's somebody filming that. And then when he gets to the Paramount, big U-turn out front, and there's Lincoln Towing in the tow, and it's quite a rig, he said, you know. So he, obviously, for him to select it, he has, you know, we all know he has a great sense of humor, and he chose right, I think. He did good.
We'll have to find that and post it on our Facebook page so that we can see the picture of the, I haven't seen the new tow truck, so I'd like to see that.
Yeah, well, it was on the 6th of June, I think, wasn't it, Connie?
It was on the
7th
on America's Got Talent.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to find it. 7th American Got Talent.
On America's Got Talent. Well, we'll definitely go look at that. So I want to take you back a little bit, though, to the book. I want to talk about your dad. And when I was reading through the book, the one thing that struck me is the way that you were raised, we couldn't raise our kids like that anymore. You were really taught at a very early age to be quite independent, is what it seemed like to me. But at the same time, he had a lot of faith in you.
He did. And I'm not sure which story would you like to discuss, because there's several in there.
It sounded like he was quite a jokester, which is what it sounds like where you got your...
Yeah. You know, that particular story is almost the favorite in the book. The water fight.
Yes, yeah.
This was beyond belief water fight. Yeah. You know, you usually, you know, throw a glass of water or whatever at somebody and, you know, they throw it back or you... this. But that... Did you want me to talk about
it? Yeah, sure.
Oh, I had a friend... I must have been 12 or 13 or something, but I had a friend spending the night out in the tent out in the backyard, summertime. And I warned my friend that, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen during the evening, but we were going to watch some TV and have some popcorn. And when Dad's around, you never know what he might do or the joke he might pull. And nothing happened. Everything was lovely. We stayed up late, you know, 11 o'clock or whatever, and then we went out and got in the tent and zipped it up and went to sleep. Well, in the morning, I heard a noise. Probably about 7 in the morning, I heard a noise, and I wondered what it was. And then it went away. And then 5 minutes later, there was a different noise. And all of a sudden, the tent was flooding from the inside out. I mean, Dad had slipped, threaded through the zipper. He'd opened the zipper up of the tent, and he threaded the sprinkler system, or the sprinkler, on the end of a hose.
Now, what time of year was this? I got the feeling that it wasn't like hot summer. It was
probably June. Well, you know, school was out.
So. Yeah, but it was early in the morning.
Yeah, it was early. And
he decided you guys were getting up.
Yeah, the water was very cold, and I couldn't believe that he would go this far. I mean, I had my friend. So, but because I had my friend, I was thinking immediately about what I'm going to do to save face. You know, what am I going to do? I mean, what can I do? I mean, I'm 12 or 13, and, you know. And all of a sudden, I sketched a plan in my mind, or a plan was sketched in my mind, that I think I'm going to get even now, and so my friend sees that I wasn't afraid of my dad. So I went and found a bucket and filled a 5-gallon bucket full of water. Now, what are you going to do? I mean, he can just duck, and he'll never get hit by the water. And so then I decided one step further, I'll get a ladder, the one out in the garden, and put it up on the house. So I put the ladder up, took the bucket up right above the back porch door where he was going to have to come out because his truck was right there. I knew that's the door he'd come out. I pulled the ladder up for safety, you know, to save so he couldn't come after me, and waited and waited. And I told my friend, now, when Dad starts coming out, there's kind of an overhang. When he comes out, I don't want to miss him. So let me know. Give me a signal, you know, when he's coming out that door. And waited and waited, and finally here comes Dad. And he didn't trust me because he put 1 foot out, and, of course, he was still protected with that 3-foot overhang. And he's looking around, and then he took the second step out, and he stopped. Now, he should have never stopped. I tell you, he should have never stopped because I could see him, and I dumped that whole 5 gallons right on. I mean, this is ice-cold water. There was nothing I heard but a yelp like a wounded puppy. I mean, he was hit. He had no idea how, where, why. And I also knew that by the cold chill that went through me that I probably was in trouble.
I was just imagining this little 13-year-old boy running across the roof, getting away from your dad.
Yeah, I did run across the roof, and he went back in the house. I mean, he was still in shock.
Yeah.
And he went back in to change and probably come up with a plan.
Right.
Meanwhile, I went off the pulled the ladder to the far side, got down, signaled my buddy, and I said, let's get out of here. So we headed the opposite way down the road, running to get away from the house. And somehow Dad figured out what direction we might go, and he went the opposite way of what he would drive. And there he found us along the road, you know, kind of winded. And I thought, well, he's not going to do anything because my friend's here, but, you know, what's he going to say? And he rolled the window down in his truck, and he pointed his finger at me, and he had a poker face. Oh, he could really have a poker face when he needed it. And he stared at me, and he said, every dog has his day. Of course, I knew that meant revenge.
That was your one and only.
that was my day. I had my day, but I also knew there would be a new day sometime.
Right. And you talk in your book about other ways that your dad had a great sense of humor, but it sounded to me when I read the book that he's the one that your pattern of entrepreneurship, it really followed. He was quite an entrepreneur himself, wasn't he?
Yeah. You know, there's all kinds of jobs classifications you could have. And sometimes the safest ones are the more basic. So he was in the used auto parts business. Mm-hmm. In those days called auto wrecking yards. And he started one in North Seattle in 1952. And so I got a chance to work for him when I was 12 years old after school. Not at 12 after school, but on Saturdays and in the summertime. And then I got a couple years older, I could work after school. So I hung around cars and parts, and I was a cleanup guy, and I was the guy that did all the little stuff, you know. And, you know, nowadays you'd think about if you found a nickel or dime on the floor, you know, you depending, you may pick it up or may not. In those days, a washer, like a washer off of a steel washer, that was Dad's nickel and dime.
Mm.
You know, pick them up, you know, put them in a pile. Well, because he sold scrap iron every week, and he would just take the extra stuff that you might trip over or step on or get a flat tire on. And, he had 5 acres, so there was a lot of room to drive. And he would put it in the old junk car going to make it weigh a little more because it was all legit, mm-hmm. As far as steel is steel.
Your dad, you had talked about in your book that your dad had a saying, and I'm trying to recall it, but it's about buying, you find the dirt. What was that saying that you find the dirt property or buy low, sell high was basically whole gist of it. And if you look at all the entrepreneurs and all the things that you started.
Buy the dirt.
Buy the dirt.
Buy the dirt. In other words, whenever he was in business, he did all that he could to wrap up and buy the corner or buy the dirt so that nobody could raise his rent. Mm-hmm. And so that he would have that at the end of the cycle when if the business ran out of business, you have another chance to make mm-hmm. a buck by selling the property.
Yeah, and it seems that through your history and the decisions that you made, it seems like a lot of stuff that you touched turned to gold. But I could tell your thought process by reading the book that a lot of that came from your dad's.
It did.
Look for the washers. Look for the, look for the dirt. Look for, what people are stepping over and missing.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's excellent. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back and we're going to hear a couple of other cute stories from Ed Lincoln and his wife, Connie. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150.
Whether they're working on an automotive accident case or helping a client injured by a defective product, the Pearsons are passionate about serving their clients. Their successful approach tackles the right issue at the right time with the best tools and expertise available. Clients rave about the Pearson Law Team's savvy abilities to ensure clients' voices are heard and to demystify the legal process and explaining choices and opportunities. Contact them at 800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's P-E-A-R-S-O-N LawFirm.com. Or check out WalkTheTalkWithKim.com for more.
Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Ithemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to www.ithembakids.org to donate online or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Cut through the clutter with the latest up-to-date information on happenings in the world of real estate, mortgage, and personal finance. Tune in Wednesdays at 3 p.m. for Brashonomics, an upbeat, interesting, and informative hour you don't want to miss. Hosted by Ben Brashen, you'll be entertained and informed as Ben and his guests of industry professionals share ideas and strategies you can use every day in your own life. You won't want to miss this show. Brashonomics has the information you need to stay in the know. Tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. You'll be glad you did. Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
That's right. Every dog has its day. You're listening to Kim Ariano on Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm here with Ed Lincoln and with Connie Lincoln. Connie's got a little bit of a head cold, so we're gonna bring her on here in just a little bit to talk about the organization. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about entrepreneurship because the interesting thing for me is when you built upon or started to do the tow truck. Preceding that, you were at a point in your business that was, a little bit make or break, almost unknowing to you. which is interesting. I think a lot of us that are in business and that are entrepreneurs may or may not know how well our business is going at any given period of time. But it wasn't all roses for you. You definitely, you lost contract with the city at one point in time and had purchased a location that wasn't, or purchased a company that wasn't what you thought that it was. And so you learned kind of lessons through the school of hard knocks. What do you think when you're talking with entrepreneurs, what are some of the things and some of the pieces of advice you would give entrepreneurs?
Well, I had the privilege a couple of weeks ago to speak to an entrepreneurial class at the University of Washington. I've kind of had that in my mind for months, that I'd love to speak to a business class and just share some of the wisdom that, you know, that I've had along the way, and it may be a little different, more basic than their books would give them. And the professor agreed that some of these basic things that are in the book would be really good for their students. One of the reasons business fail, 80% would be a conservative number, fail within 5 years, is because lack of capitalization. They underestimated what it would take, you know, to pull their business along until it took hold, and they ran out of money. And when you are out of money and the business model isn't looking too good, the bank does not want to loan it to you then. They would rather loan it to you earlier on, but when you get in trouble, then they don't want to be part of the mm-hmm. of the failure. When I talked to the class, besides looking for niches, the washers and the nickels and the dimes, a lot of people ignore those. So that's can be good opportunity for a new person to want to start a business, is to look for the more basic things. And one of the things that I pointed out to the group was, if you're going to start your own business, you don't want to be going to the casino. Now, the professor, he rolled his eyes back. He had never heard of that one, he said. But he said, I can see it makes sense. If you're counting your nickels and dimes and your $20 bills, you don't want to be putting that in your mind that it doesn't count on the weekend when you go to the casino and lose 20 mm-hmm. or 30 or 40 or 50.
Right.
And then do that once a week or once a month. You need to be disciplined in your business, which means you need to be disciplined in your personal finances. Mm-hmm. Very crucial. And because they go together, right? Your
right.
business and your personal. So the professor probably liked that a lot, because he talked to me afterwards, you know, that was a really a good comment. Treating your employees well. I think some people get into business and say, well, I'm boss, you know, and they're going to do what I say. Well, you know, they make or break you. And treating them well is really, really important. And then, I mean, we're talking about benefits, and we're talking about vacation, we're talking about attitude, we're talking about keeping track, like my wife does, of their birthdays and their kids' names and all that, and, you know, making it family. If you do that, then you have to look, how does somebody on the outside, maybe a customer. A customer needs a tow, the car broke down, and the driver shows up. You want a driver that represents well what you want him to see. In other words, a driver in a uniform, not just a guy in jeans with holes in it,
mm-hmm.
and a guy that doesn't swear, and a guy that probably is really neatly trimmed. If he has a, you know, we didn't allow the times have changed, but we didn't allow mustaches or beards. But it, you know, they look nice if they're neatly trimmed, and you know, the thank yous, and it really common sense stuff, and it doesn't even matter what business you're in. It all works. It all works to your benefit if you do it right.
You know, the other thing that caught my attention in what you're talking about reinforces that is I noticed quite a few times in the book, somebody picked up the phone and said, I have an idea, and I'd like you to be a part of it. I mean, that's my dream, that somebody will call, or, you know, any entrepreneur, that the phone is going to be ringing with somebody said, hey, I have an idea and you're the person that I want to be part of my business. That's a testament. And you didn't say this in the book, but that was the connection that I made, is the both of you have made some network connections out there with people that see you as trustworthy and walking the talk.
Yeah, walking the talk.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. I wanted to talk to you a little bit, Connie, and if you have to cough, let me know. It's fine. I apologize. You, at one point after Ed had his heart attack, you took over running the business. You were the president of the company for a period of there at Lincoln Towing, correct?
Yes.
What was that like, being a woman owned, you know, a president of a company? And this would have been back in the 80s, right? Or was it the 90s?
It was in 93.
93. Okay. Yeah. Well, still early enough, I wouldn't think that there would be a lot of women in towing, let alone president of the business. I could be wrong. What was that like?
Actually, you'd be surprised. There were other women.
Maybe it's more nurturing than you would anticipate towing to be.
But, you know, to us, to be put in that position, I really wasn't looking for that. I had been really, really happy kind of being in the background. We always discussed major decisions and decided what to do together. But I was kind of in backdrop, and a lot of people didn't even know I worked there. So when I was thrust into that, and actually willingly thrust into it, I found I really, really liked it. I really liked being involved more on the out front and dealing with not just the everyday issues, but with people. And so to me, surprisingly, it was just a fun time. And actually, as the years went on, and I continued to be present even after Ed had come back into the business after he'd taken some time off, that just was a fun run.
The one thing that struck me is, man, I would have loved to have worked for you. I would have liked to work for you, but I would have really loved to work for you, Connie. Because
you
take, again, talk about walking the talk, you take that stewardship of your employees as the soul of your being.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I tell us the story about what happened when you sold the business. You had to go to several banks.
Oh, yeah, that's a good story. My very first day on the job for the new ownership, I spent the day writing thank you notes to, we had 130 employees at that point in time. And I spent the day writing thank you notes. And then I decided, we had, in the book you'd read about this, but we had negotiated for extra amount over and above what the offer, and the offer had been wonderful, but we negotiated for more money. And it came down to the last day, and we were, Ed can tell this story, but we ended up getting that extra money. And I took my portion and decided to give it back to the employees. So I went to three different banks to find enough money to be able to do that.
Because they didn't have enough.
And it was pouring rain, and I called ahead, and I said, I'm coming to get X number of dollars. Do you happen to have that in your vault? And most of them said, well, we have some of it, but let me call around. And so they did that. And, of course, this is personal money now because we had banked after selling the business. And gathered up that money and drove back to Lincoln Towing, started stuffing envelopes, had figured out how much was going to go in each employee's envelope because different people had been there a different length of time. And saw that I was not going to get this done because that night we were having a meeting to announce that we'd actually sold the business. And so I called in a couple of our managers and Ed and said, hey, I need some help here.
I need to stuff all this money.
So I'd written it down, and I had 50s and 100s. And,
oh, wow.
And so it was. I would say that was probably one of the best days of my whole life.
I was calculating in my head. You gave an average of like $900 a person or something like that. I was going, oh, that would have, and that's not why I would have wanted to have worked for you. But that was just an example. What a gift, and what that must have felt like. Whoever has a chance to dole out money like that. I mean, that was a very heartwarming story for me. And I'm sure you made a difference well beyond the money to every single person there and their families. So,
well, that's who made us, you know, interesting enough. Later when we worked for we actually ran the business for the new ownership for 2.5 years. And during that time I was called upon to go down to Texas with other owners to ask, to testify why our business was successful. Even after we'd sold it. and we're continuing to run it. And one of the first questions they asked me is, so why do you think your business was successful or is successful? And my first answer was our employees. Because if you don't have good people behind you, you're not going to succeed.
You know, the total number of firms purchased by this national company, they purchased 120 tow companies. Mm. And, of course, they were doing the finances on everybody and watching everybody. We were the number two profitability in the nation of those 120, which, of course, affected how much they offered us.
Right.
You know, that because that was prefigured. Yeah. But it was, you know, if you do things right for a long time, it accumulates.
It does. It's picking up. It's picking up those washers and knives.
Oh,
I love that. We're going to take a break. And then when I want to come, I want to talk a little bit about negotiation because this has been a theme all day for me. And then I want to talk about your nonprofit organization. So thank you, Connie, for that story. I think it's a really good reminder that your investment in people pay off in spades. And so where you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, I'm Kim Arellano. We're talking with Ed Lincoln and Connie Lincoln, former owners of Lincoln Towing and the Pink Tow Truck. Come on back and we're going to wrap up talking with these very interesting folks. Thank you for listening.
Driving up that great fine hill doesn't cause my face to stand still.
Jerry and Michelle Pearson of the Pearson Law Firm are local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been wronged in our community. If you have a personal injury, automobile accident, property hazard, industrial injury, defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, award-winning Pearson Law Firm can help anywhere in Washington. Contact them today for a free case evaluation at 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473, or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Want to play on two wheels in your own backyard? Throw your bike on the rack and head east to the Snoqualmie Valley for the 2011 Tour de Peaks Bike Ride. Mark your calendars for Sunday, August 14th, and choose the 25, 50, or 100-mile course through some of the most spectacular scenic roads in the state of Washington. Don't miss the live music and microbrews at the finish. Log on to tourdepeaks.org for more information or to register. That's TOURDEPEAKS.org. See you there.
Hi, I'm Lauren Archer. I'm a hypnotherapist that helps people change their energy by changing their mind.
And I'm Lorelei Spiegelman, and I am an energy healer who helps people change their mind by changing their energy.
Together, we're the Soul Sirens of Seattle, and we invite you to join us on our show, Inner Spirit Medicine, Mondays at 3, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
To find out more about us, join us at our website at soulsirens.tv.
Have you heard the phrase, the beatings will continue until morale improves? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Arellano Consulting, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focus on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Arellano Consulting, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
He said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop that man. Rod Lincoln.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Arellano, and we are back with Ed Lincoln and with Connie Lincoln. And we were talking about the importance of taking care of your employees and also, we talked very, very briefly about negotiation. I kind of wanted to set this up just a little bit. So I do a blog, and you can go to girlpowerhour.com. And I wrote a blog today on negotiating. And it was really for next generation women in the workforce to negotiate for pay, because a lot of times women don't even negotiate. And they think that's one of the reasons why there's disparity in the wage gap between men and women. And so I had written a blog today about value and about sensing your own self-worth and negotiating. We touched briefly, you had mentioned that there was some extra money that came along with this negotiation. Can you tell us really quick, Ed, and I think it's a good lesson for entrepreneurs. You were sitting in this meeting with big wigs from Tennessee and you're getting ready to sell the company. You had more than you had anticipated, but you threw out a number and you stuck to it. Tell us that story.
Well, the negotiations for the sale of the business was done months earlier. But when we were made offered a generous offer, I just knew that I needed more. It didn't matter what it was. they didn't know what I was thinking. So I told them that that my number would be higher. And it's not uncommon in the world, but I wasn't asking for the moon. And so they agreed that the number, if I would sign off on the sale, that the number would be between my number and their number,
mm-hmm.
and it would be between that. So they did all the due diligence, all the things that the corporations do when they buy another corporation. And in the end, there was this final day where we had to agree on that number. So their corporate attorneys and ours were on the phone. Connie and I were on the phone. And right away he said, well, I guess everything's been done. You've checked out. We've checked you out thoroughly. And so all we need to do is just finalize the price. He said, now, the easy way to do this and the fair way is let's just take your number and our number and we'll split it down the middle. Well, that's pretty friendly and that's pretty normal. But again, I've been trained really hard by my father over the years, there's always room for a little more. And, of course, I was willing to take that number, but they didn't know that. And I said, well, that won't work. I need this other number, which was how much difference?
$250,000.
I needed the extra. There was
like 200, it was $125,000.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, there they was were $250,000 and go halfway, but I didn't want to. So I said, no, I need that other $125,000. And they said on the phone, you mean to tell me you would walk away from a multimillion dollar deal for $125,000? And I said, well, you don't understand my background. I said, every penny counts. And here's an example. This morning I was at our other business, and I was in the parking lot, just drove up, got out of my car, and there was a penny on the ground. Now, did I step on it, walk around it? No, I picked it up and put it in my pocket. I said, the penny is actually still in my pocket. And that's why I need the other 125, because I'm a guy who still counts pennies.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big pause as they put it. I could tell they put their hand over the phone, just a minute, and they put the hand over the phone, and they decided among themselves whether they were going to go the 125 or talk about it further.
Right.
And they came back and says, well, they were kind of grumpy. But they said, okay, it's a deal. We'll pay it. They didn't want to pay it. So then I knew that I'd stretched them about as far as I could stretch them, right? So, whether it's for pay when you're negotiating for your wage at whatever place, there's usually some room. But you need to do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
This penny story was not made up. It was really, I hadn't planned on telling the penny story. I didn't even know what they were going to offer on that last bit of negotiation. But when it hit like it did, the penny story came to mind. I threw it out. And so that particular penny was worth $125,000 to me. I saved it for a long, long time and put it in a little envelope as a memento. I don't know where it is today, but
no.
I'll probably run across it. But anyway, there's my penny story. It counts.
And that $125,000 is the same $125,000 that you gave to your employees.
Connie gave the $125,000 to the employees, or $100,000 or whatever it was. And
were you mortified, Connie?
No,
when this was happening, or were you laughing? Because this
no,
is typical
actually,
Ed.
Because I didn't want to sell the business.
Oh.
In my heart.
The penny story.
Yeah, well, the penny story, yes, I was laughing at that. But, in fact, our attorney, on because we were all on different phones and on a conference call. Yeah. But, so I didn't really care if they took it or left it, you know, at that point in time, because my heart was still trying to save the business. But I knew in my mind it was the right thing to do because...
Timing.
We were a large enough company. It wasn't anybody going to walk in the door. There weren't a lot of people that were going to walk in the door and offer us the kind of offer that they had done. So
wonderful. You guys have so many more stories, and you're going to come back on the show in a couple of weeks, and we're going to talk through them again. But I did want to spend this last little bit of time and talk about your philanthropic organization, Atemba. Mm-hmm. Tell me, Connie, about that organization, and why is that the one that you chose?
Well, we actually support others, too, but this is one that really touched our heart. We had gone to South Africa in 2005 as an invitation and saw this organization that really got to know the people and developed a friendship and a trust, which to me is really important to know where our nickels are going. We don't want to go in some person's pocket because, you know, they just feel like they need to earn this very large wage. And in this case, the people that are running it, the actual person doesn't take a nickel from it. So that made us feel very good because we wanted to see our money touch the children. And we looked out. There's a large piece of property that was purchased to build homes on in a school. And we looked out at the Valley of a Thousand Hills off of Hillcrest in just outside of Durban, South Africa. And all you saw for miles and miles and miles are just little shanties. And a lot of children, because of the HIV/AIDS, have been affected there and are trying to raise siblings on their own and trying to survive, try to go to school. And for children there, here in America, not all our children are excited about going to school every day. The children there are absolutely treated as a real positive experience, and they want to be there because they know that means possibly freedom later on for them to have an education. And so we felt, looking at these children and what this organization was doing, was just touched our heart, being with the children, interacting with them. And what it is a foster-based mom and dad in each house. A couple comes in, can be young, can be older, our age, that says, yes, I'd like to come in and I've raised my family or I've got some little ones, but I could take more in. And we provide the house. And so the children need schooling. They need, you know, obviously medical. They need a lot of different things. And so we help do that. And it's a 501c3 organization here in the United States that people can give to.
And we're going to put up more information on that organization. And we also have commercials that are running so folks can learn more about that organization. And when we have you come on next time, we'll spend a lot more time talking about that organization because it sounds like it's wonderful work that you're doing. So are you scheduled to go there anytime soon? Are you going to go to South Africa and check things out?
We've been there twice. And we have some of our board members that go and stay 2 or 3 months. And so we're in contact with all of them. We have board meetings every 3 months, usually by conference call. And so not probably in the next year or so. We were going to go next year, but our daughter's moving to China. So that's going to take precedence.
Year after.
Maybe the year after we'll go.
Well, you'll be world travelers by then. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate having you. And these are such great stories. And I highly recommend the book. You can get this through Barnes & Noble, other bookstores that are available. And the information is on walkthetalkwithkim.com. And I will be posting information on Atemba as well as where you can get the book and more information on Walk the Talk with Kim and on Facebook at Walk the Talk with Kim. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Pearson Law Firm. Expert representation. That is the Pearson Promise. Have a beautiful and wonderful day.
No space to rent in this town. Place. It's a beautiful